Shook and its impact on halacha. So we discussed so far, we got into a little bit the major machlokas between the Rambam and Tosas about whether or not there's any point in lighting after dark, after the Zman of Tichla Regel Menashuk rather. We talked a little bit about what that machlokas might be about. We talked about the origins of Tichla Regel Menashuk, how it's defined, etc., etc. So to take that to the next step, what essentially emerges is that we really have three different views of the halacha, or three different understandings even of the first statement in the Gemara. The idea of de'ilo adlik madlik, that the ikar time of hadlaka is during from shkia to achatich l'regal menashuk. What emerges is that there really are three different ways to understand that, without even getting into the suffix between the two opinions in the Gemara and which one is accepted, but just what that first half means, it comes out that there are three views. And basically, there is the view of the Rambam that you can only light during that time. From Shkia, Ashutich L'Regel Menashuk, that is the only time you can light. Afterwards, you blew it. And afterwards, you can't light. And by the way, we don't even know if the Rambam distinguishes between then and now. The whole chiluk that we assume that Bizman Hazeh, this is different, you find that in other sources, we don't necessarily know that from the Rambam. So it could be this is the only view he has of Ner Chanuk in general, that it's only between Shkia and Achatech L'Regel Menashuk. The second view is the Ritva, which I think we mentioned a little bit the other day. That the Ritva holds that the attitude that we have nowadays, that we light inside, and that it doesn't matter so much that it should be during this time slot, because the main person is for the people in the household. So that was true in the time of the Gemara as well. That basically, ideally, you should light during this time slot for the public. But if you don't do that, then at least you should light inside afterwards for your household. And the third major view is the view of the Rashba, which we mentioned, we didn't get into so much, that the Iker time, the best time, is the beginning of the night. But really, you could light all night because this is mitzvah salayla. This is a nighttime mitzvah. And a nighttime mitzvah is acceptable all night. That he classifies this with general mitzvahs in the Torah that have a daytime slot or a nighttime slot, so a nighttime mitzvah is acceptable all night. So what seems to emerge, as some achronim explain it, is basically you have three different attitudes here. That you have the Rambam, that it's all about pursuing Issa for the public. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You have the Ritva, that it's ideally about Pursuma Nisa for the public. But if you don't do that, at least have Pursuma Nisa for your household, which is a different time frame. So at least shift to a different level of Pursuma Nisa. And the Rashba, who seems to see Pursuma Nisa as an ideal, but not as the whole mitzvah. And that theoretically then, even if you don't have Pursuma Nisa, you can light the rest of the night. So far, so good? That makes sense? So, to focus for a moment then on the Rishonim who emphasized Pursuma Nisa to the exclusion of other possibilities, and the Rashba who allows for, at least after the fact, for you to light all night. So, there are those who want to suggest that, first of all, on a basic level, clearly, the Rambam and other Rishonim like him see Pursuma Nisa as defining the mitzvah completely, while the Rashba sees it as a mitzvah of the daytime, meaning of the Yontif, not the daytime through the day, but of the day of Hanukkah, specifically the nighttime. And there are those who want to suggest that maybe there are two dinin in Neiros Hanukkah. And this was a suggestion, for example, that was made by Rav Rucham Olshan in the Sefer Yerach HaMoladim. There are other indications that this is true. And he notes that you could be medayik like this actually in the Rambam, which we'll have to account for in a second, because the Rambam is the machmir here. But if you look at the Rambam, you see possibly a basis for saying two dinim in hadlakas neiros. And I'll read you the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Chanukah, Peri Gimel, Halacha Gimel. So listen to what he says. Umepnei ma hiskinu chachamim shiva oso hador sheyu shmonas yamim ha'elu shahaskalasa and chafei bekislev yimei simcha v'halel umadlikin bohen haneiros be'erev al pischei habatim b'chol laylu v'layla mishmonas ha'leilos laharos v'legalos hanes. V'yamim eilu v'hein hanikro in Chanukah v'hein asurin behesped v'taynis kimei apurim v'hadlokos haneros bohen mitzvah midivrei sofrim kikriyas hamigil. So the Rambam essentially mentions neiros twice in this halacha. And the suggestion is that perhaps there are two different components here. At first he says they made a takana that we should light neiros Chanukah every night on our doorways, laharos v'legalos hanes, to show and to reveal, to publicize the miracle. So that is the hadlaka because of persumei nisa. And then he goes on to discuss the yontif of Chanukah, the character of the day. It says v'yamim elu hein hanikra in Chanukah v'hein asurin behesped betanis kimei purim. You can't have hespedim or fasting on the day, which goes to the character of the day itself, like Purim. V'hadlakas haneiros behen mitzvah midivrei sofrim kikriyas hamegillah. And lighting neiros on that day, that's a mitzvah midivrei sofrim like Megillah. So he suggests that perhaps there's two different components. There is the persumei nisa, and then there is the expression of hodah, that this is a day of hodah, it's a day of happiness. We don't fast, we don't have hesbeidin, we express our hakaras hatov, we say halal as we know. And one of the things we do is we light Chanukah candles as well. So maybe that's the Rashba's position, that ideally we want to do both. We want to have real persumei nisa. But even without that, there is a mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah independently. And therefore, if we don't get it at the beginning of the night, all night long, there is still a mitzvah. Now, of course, the difficulty is that this is based on Adiyuk and the Rambam. And the Rambam is the one who's machmer on this, who doesn't allow a hadlaka after the time. So one would have to say, as he suggests over there, that the Rambam is the basis for this idea that there's two dinim. But the Rambam takes it a step further and assumes that Chazal instituted both dinim in the same zman. That when Chazal made this concept, they said it has to be in the time of persumei nisa, and that's when both aspects are there. Now Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, which we'll mention a little bit later. But Rav Moshe is in his Tshuvos and Arachayim and Chelek Dalet and Siman Kuf Hei. There he discusses that perhaps the institution of Neiros Chanukah being specifically in the earlier Zman, if that's let's say the way the Rambam understands it, is maybe since everyone agrees that it's best to do it during that time, either because that's the primary time of Persumei Nisa, or because the reason Makdim and Lemitzvos, so you want to get it in the earlier angle. So therefore, Chazal didn't want to make a takana that's going to allow for a less than ideal way of doing things. So perhaps, even though there are these two components to Neiros Chanukah, they formulated the takana in such a way that it should all be during this ideal time. That would be the view of the Rambam. And the view of others, like the Rashba, would be that because of the second component, you could still light afterwards. That's perhaps one approach to take to this whole debate. Now, it's interesting to consider if that's the only way to see it, and also to see how that affects other issues. So, Lemaisa, what are we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Can you light after the time of Tichler Egel Menashuk? Yes. Right? So who does the Shulchan Aruch paskin like, really? So it's not 100% clear. Yeah, he starts off using the Rambam's language. But then he says, it's after the Zman Yikin's delight, which is clearly against the Rambam. So the Magen Avraham, very important Magen Avraham, if you had a chance to see it, it was on the Magen Makomos, the Magen Avraham raises the issue, when you light after Zman Tichle Regel Menashuk, do you make a bracha? This is the language of the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like you do. It doesn't make any distinction. It doesn't say light without a bracha at that time. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that if you go past this point, you do make a bracha. And the Magen Avraham is surprised at that, because why would you think maybe you shouldn't make a bracha? Why would you maybe, which happens to be the view of the Meiri, by the way. So why would you think you shouldn't make a bracha if you light after this man?
Suffolk for the Rambam.
Right, that maybe this whole position that you should be lighting is a suffolk, and therefore you might as well light, because there are Rishonim who say you can light, but there are Rishonim who say you can't light, so therefore it's a suffolk, so why don't you do it, but leave out the bracha, suffolk brachos lahakil. That would have been perhaps the more intuitive approach. Right, the notion that it's a suffix is explicit in some Rishonim, right? Which Rishon says that? Well, Tosfos says it, right? Tosfos says it pretty much beferish, right? That basically it's a machlokus between the two opinions in the Gemara, Ilo Adlik Madlik and the Shir Shemen. So therefore, according to Tosfos, the second opinion would allow you to count to light later, count when things Sfiras Omer when we talk like this, to light later. And therefore, because of the second opinion, it's what Tosfos says, so you might as well light later. So it sounds like the only reason to light later is because it's a suffix, because really, it sounds like ilo adlik madlik means that you can only light during that time. But there's another opinion in the Gemara, and therefore, you should light later as well, but probably without a bracha. So why does the Shulchan Aruch sound like you do make a bracha? It doesn't express any difference. So some want to suggest a fancy approach. The Prima Gaudim suggests that maybe this is a sfeik sfeika. It's a double suffix. Why is it a double suffix? Because first of all, we have two answers in the Gemara, that Tichle Regel Menashuk is either there to tell you the time when you light or how much oil you need. So it's already a suffix, which view is correct, which answer we paskin like. And even if we follow the first view of Ilo Adlik Madlik, that this is the time, you have the Rashba who says that it's the ideal time, but b'diavad it could be later too. So really you have two reasons why you could do it later. One, because maybe we don't paskin like Ilo Adlik Madlik, or maybe Ilo Adlik Madlik is only l'chachilo to begin with. So putting those two together, says the Prima Gaudim, you have a sfeik sfeika, so you can make a bracha. Normally we say sfeik brachos lahakel. If you're not sure there's a mitzvah, leave the bracha out. But he's assuming here, it's not an obvious point, but he's assuming that if you have two sfeikas together, then the odds are in your favor, and then you can make a bracha. Where else do you find such logic, possibly? Some assume that this is pshat when you miss a day of Sfiras HaOmer, and you count during the day, so we allow you to resume with a bracha the next day. So some say it's because of the same thing, that you have a machlokas if you can count Sfiras HaOmer during the daytime, and you have a machlokas if you're allowed to keep counting if you miss a day. So maybe if you count during the daytime when you miss the night, you have two sfeikas. Maybe you can count during the day, so it's not called missing. And even if you miss the whole day, maybe you're still allowed to count anyway. So the two sfeikas together, maybe that's why we're allowed to keep counting with a bracha afterwards. It's a little bit of a funny idea, because you say safek derabanan lakula, safek brachos lahakel. It means it's a kula to be able to make a bracha. We're religious, so we like making brachas. So we feel that if you say you can't make a bracha, it's like a punishment. If you say you can't sfeira without a bracha, we feel like we're being punished. So we want to make a bracha. So we feel like it's a chumrah to say not to make a bracha. But in halachic terms, it's really a kula not to make a bracha. So you should keep being mekel with the sveik sveika. It's interesting, the idea that that the two sveikas together, sveik sveika, so we allow you to make a bracha, because we'll give you a break, but really, halachically, it's a chumrah to make a bracha. So it's a little bit of a non-obvious conclusion, but you have this possibility that when you have a sufik bracha l'hakel, but if you have two sveikas together, maybe you can make a bracha, and that's how the Prima Gaudium suggests is relevant here. Michael?
The issue of
Lotisa. Right, so it's a question in general, just parenthetically, just why you raise the issue. It's not clear what's the reason for Safik Brachos Lahakel. If you don't have, if you when in doubt, leave it out. When it comes to brachos, you don't make a bracha if you're not sure you have a mitzvah. And if you're not sure you're obligated, why should that be the rule? So there's two possible explanations why it's the rule. You could say that because brachos are drabanan. And Safek Rabbanan L'Hakel. If you're not sure, if you have a rabbinic obligation, so you should be Mekel. As opposed to Berachas HaMazon, let's say, which is a bracha minat Torah, that's the one bracha, or maybe two, that are the obligations minat Torah. So if you're not sure if you bench, you have to bench again. But all other brachos, most of the brachos, are Rabbanan, so Safek Rabbanan L'Kul. So that's one reason you might say. But the other reason Michael's raising is, why don't we assume that if I'm not sure if I should make a bracha, so then I'm probably risking an iser d'oraisa of taking God's name in vain, of lo sisa. And therefore, I don't want to do that. I don't want to violate that iser d'oraisa. So if I'm not sure I'm chayiv in the bracha, I should not make a bracha for that reason. So that's very logical. The issue is, it's not clear that that's true. The Gemara does say in brachos that somebody who makes a bracha, shein etzricha, bracha levatala, somebody makes a bracha that's not justified, is in violation of Lo Sisa.